Assalamu alaikum, girls. Welcome back to another episode on the eMuslimah podcast. I pray you are all in the best of health and iman, inshallah. So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about ibadah burnout. Now, I've been getting so many DMs, alhamdulillah, on Instagram where I think I talked about me going through ibadah burnout, but I never actually talked about how to deal with it and the guilt that kind of comes with it, and also just having that motivation to get through that burnout and trying to get back onto the right tracks and the do's and the don'ts. And I don't think I really specified all of it. So I think in this podcast, I'm going to literally title it as Ibadah Burnout, or find some sort of cute title to put with that. But I really wanted to talk about it because I know that so many sisters who are trying so hard, not just sisters, but just as Muslims in general, we try so hard to just please Allah and just stay focused on Allah, that sometimes we do too much. Like, you know how they say that you have this one big goal that you want to achieve, but you want to do it in small baby steps. I feel like with me, I go through phases where I really want to reach this goal when it comes to my ibadah, when it comes to Islam. I really want to reach a specific goal and I'll overwork myself without even realizing. But subhanAllah, I'm enjoying this journey, but I feel like sometimes I'm doing so much that it gets to a point where obviously we're human at the end of the day and deen needs to be the central focus of our purpose in this dunya. But also we have dunya responsibilities as well, you know, but obviously it's important not to let the responsibilities of the dunya take over your responsibilities as a servant of Allah. So that's the, you know, foremost main thing. But obviously as humans, you know, whilst we're on this journey focusing on Allah, our responsibilities when it comes to the dunya, you know, seeps in to that journey of ours, and it can be so overwhelming when we don't realize it because our body is just, you know, going through this phase of just getting to reach our goal that we don't actually acknowledge it, and we end up burning out. And that's when your body just literally crashes and you don't have that motivation. You have the desire to work on your ibadah and get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you're lacking motivation. So it's really important that before we talk about the whole aspect of ibadah burnout, we talk about the difference between desire and motivation. Now, desire obviously comes from intention. So you have that intention that you want to strive to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you do it. So that's where motivation comes in. Motivation is the thing that kicks you to actually act upon that intention. So it's really important to have that motivation. But it gets to a point where you do face ibadah burnout, where you really want to strive and do the most that you can in, you know, within your means to do the most that you can to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you don't have the motivation because your body has completely burnt out. So this is basically what ibadah burnout is. You strive to do the best you can to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all aspects of ibadah. So it could be your salah, reading lots and lots of Quran, doing plenty of adhkar, your morning salah, evening adhkar, lots of dua, you know, setting up lots of like fundraising projects, or like, you know, just community groups and going to the masjid more, praying tahajjud, so many endless ibadah that we can do. And obviously there are so many beautiful benefits that come with each of those types of ibadah and much more. And you can actually find all of this stuff where I've talked about the different benefits in previous podcasts. But even though the benefits are so beautiful, that's the reason why we do it, because it makes us mentally prepared and mentally happy that we are, you know, preparing ourselves for the akhirah and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us. But I'll be honest, sometimes it gets to the point where you want those benefits so bad, but your body just crashes. And that is where you start burning out. You do all of this ibadah that your body literally crashes and you do the bare minimum. Now, it's really important that when I'm talking about ibadah burnout, it's important to remember to not stop your ibadah. When I talk about ibadah burnout, I do not mean stopping your ibadah. I'm talking about stopping the extra ibadah that you do. For example, the ibadah that's not compulsory. So, for example, praying tahajjud, you know, that's not compulsory, it's recommended because there are so many benefits. And obviously our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always wake up in the last third of the night and would always pray tahajjud before praying fajr. But at the same time, we have to remember that that isn't compulsory, and we are humans. We have to remember, you know, Allah is self-sufficient. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect and self-sufficient, but we aren't. We are not self-sufficient. We rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us resources for us to rely upon, such as food and water. So of course we're not self-sufficient. And there's only so much that we can do in our capacities living in this daily life. And I feel like that is a big struggle for us Muslims in today's society, where we are trying to do so much to please Allah, but at the same time we have responsibilities in the dunya that seeps into that journey, and it makes it very difficult for us, and we really do burn out. And it gets to the point where even though you feel like you're being mentally tired, you keep going and going. But honestly, just keep this in mind, that it will get to a point where your body will literally physically feel sick and you just burn out completely. And that burnout could be from, I don't know, work or any responsibilities that you have in the dunya. But in my case, when I'm talking about ibadah burnout, I'm talking more about doing it because of the worship, burning out from all the worship that you are doing. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, reward us for all of our efforts, because honestly, if you are trying so hard, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually rewards you more for trying and making that intention and having that sincerity to actually try and strive to please for Him more than the actual good deed itself. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is al-shakur, so He literally appreciates every single thing that we do for Him, from, you know, actually performing the ibadah to actually trying and you know, having that intention to do it. So it's really important that we realize that. And again, before we talk about all the do's and don'ts when it comes to ibadah burnout, we have to remember it's always important to have a positive perception of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I'm going to talk about ibadah burnout guilt, and what are the actual effects of ibadah burnout. And some of you girls have probably gone through it, because I always go through ibadah burnout. Now, when it comes to ibadah burnout, there is a high chance of you feeling guilty. Like, trust me, I feel guilty all the time when I'm going through that phase, because it's like, I know that my purpose in this dunya is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but it gets to the point where I just feel so guilty because my body can't pick myself up. Now, a lot of you might say it's shaitan, but I genuinely feel like my body is just tired. It's crashing. Like, I can't do more anymore because my body is just so consumed. My mind is so consumed with everything that I'm pressurizing myself. You're putting too much pressure on yourself when it comes to your ibadah. But actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates every little thing that we do. And the fact that we even try for Him is the main thing. Now, remember, I'm talking about ibadah burnout. When I talk about ibadah burnout, I'm not talking about compulsory ibadah. That's not what I'm referring to. I'm talking about the extra ibadah. Like, for example, alhamdulillah, I try my best to pray my 5 salah every single day. It's really important that even though you are praying your 5 salahs, it's important that instead of saying, yes, alhamdulillah, I pray all 5 every single day, it's important to say, I try my best to pray every single day, because shaitan is around. And we overcome that fact because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gives us that motivation to try our best to go and then perform all of our 5 salah. So say, for example, pray all my 5 salahs, try my best to every single day. On top of that, I pray tahajjud. But it gets to the point where I struggle to wake up for tahajjud. It might be, I know, for example, it's best to pray, you know, at least half an hour, 20 minutes before fajr to pray tahajjud. But even though sometimes that 20 minutes, that half an hour can be so painful for me to get up. And that's where I start feeling guilty, because I just think to myself, wow, I really want to be waking up for tahajjud, and I've been doing so well, I've been consistent, I've been praying every single day, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah for giving me that motivation, but I just feel so guilty for missing that one day. But alhamdulillah, at least I still woke up for fajr. Now that's where shaitan will come and play with your mind. You miss tahajjud and shaitan will think, right, you're the worst Muslim ever. Look, you can't even wake up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, you can't even do more for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you have to remember, you still woke up for fajr. And missing fajr should be a big guilt. You know, it's not a sin that we should just, you know, walk past on. it's a big sin for missing, you know, your compulsory salah. So this is where you need to develop that strong mindset where, yes, you feel guilty for missing the extra ibadah, but alhamdulillah, at least I still managed to wake up for fajr. You never know. The fact that you set an alarm for tahajjud, but you missed it, at least you managed to wake up half an hour later in preparation for fajr. And that too, praying fajr on time, inshallah. And that is something that you should feel so proud of, and that you shouldn't be hard on yourself when it comes to ibadah burnout, because we are humans at the end of the day. Some days we might have a very tough day at work, or we might come home very late for whatever reason, and it's difficult to get sleep as well. And trust me, waking up for fajr, I'm just using this as an example, waking up in the middle of the night, it is not easy. It has taken me years and years to master that kind of mindset of trying to wake up in the last third of the night. And then, you know, carrying on with my daily routine after that, it's difficult. And some days I flop, some days, you know, I'm like striving and I'm at the best that I can be. But we have to remember that so long as we are still completing our compulsory acts of worship, then that is the main thing, and we shouldn't feel guilty because Allah knows our intentions. This is what I was talking about when I'm talking about striving but not having the motivation. You have that desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, at least you set an alarm for tahajjud, right? You set your alarm for 2:30 in preparation to wake up for tahajjud, make wudu, and then do some dua and adhkar, and then go and perform your fajr salah. At least you made that intention. And trust me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see that you desire for Him, and He can see that you have built that beautiful intention for Him. So of course, He's going to reward you for that. And trust me, it's your body. Sometimes your body just crashes and you can't help it, and that's where you need to kind of go back into your routine and figure out where you know what you might be lacking of. You know, say for example, if you really want to do the best you can when it comes to your ibadah, and I'm going to talk about this in just a moment, it's really important that you are also giving your mind that self-help that it needs, the encouragement, the nutrition your mind and body needs in order for you to have that energy to perform your ibadah to the best of your ability, inshallah. So again, ibadah guilt, ibadah burnout guilt is so, like, it's so common. Like, I face this all the time. And I even end up texting my friends. And I remember actually texting one of my best friends, and I was telling her, look, I'm going through such a difficult time with my ibadah. Like, alhamdulillah, you know, I try my best to pray all of five of my salah. I'm reading Quran every day. But, you know, I'm not praying tahajjud, or I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. And my friend goes to me, and you know what, Allah Mubarak, like, I adore my friend, may Allah be pleased with her, because she's an absolute gem, right? She goes to me, you know what, Rizwana, at least you are doing all of your compulsory acts of worship. It's the fact that you are holding on to your salah. That is the main thing. And Allah has made that compulsory for you. So that is the bare minimum that is required of us Muslims. And if you can do that, that is more than enough for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that you are still holding on. And you know what? You should be so proud of yourself, because at least, alhamdulillah, you haven't stopped doing your compulsory acts of worship. The worst thing that could happen with ibadah burnout is you not disciplining yourself. It's about you, you know, stopping yourself from doing your compulsory acts of worship. That is the biggest, you know, that's the biggest disaster that could come out of it, is where you go through ibadah burnout to the point where you just completely stop doing any acts of worship, even the compulsory ones. May Allah, you know, protect us from, you know, losing our salah and everything that comes along with it. I mean, because what tends to happen, people burn out so much, but they don't have that discipline. They don't discipline themselves to realize, actually, hang on a minute, I need to push myself to at least do my compulsory. That is the bare minimum that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has expected from me. Now, if you are doing X, Y, and Z in terms of extra ibadah, if you take all of the extra ibadah away, so all the ibadah that is sunnah, if you take all of that away, Allah doesn't actually ask much of us. You know, He really doesn't ask much of us. You know, He only expects us to be praying our salah, having a good character, being good to our parents, and just all of the obligatory acts of worship. When you put it all together, honestly, it's nothing. Think about all of your salah. If you're somebody that is struggling with your salah, let's say, for example, there are 17 fard rakats. Okay, these are the ones that you have to be praying. And 17 rakats, that's what? Let's say, at most, I don't know, a minimum, like 20 minutes, right? Half an hour, whatever, to pray that in every single day. You have 24 hours in a day, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expecting you to at least spend half an hour. I'm not saying this quote unquote, I'm just giving kind of like, you know, a broader aspect of this is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only asking a little bit of our time when he has blessed us with 24 hours in a day. So you need to discipline yourself. Think about, and the best way to discipline yourself is literally to look at the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. So say, for example, He has blessed us with so much time, 24 hours in a day. That is more than enough time to do everything, more than enough time to sleep, to fulfill our, you know, worldly responsibilities, but also use a lot of that time to focus on our ibadah, to stimulate ourselves, to nourish ourselves, you know, use the resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us in a halal way to better ourselves, to become better people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to nourish our bodies, to prepare our minds in order to do our ibadah to the best of our abilities. So discipline is so important, because the best way is to look at Allah's blessings that He has given you. Also, you have to remember that every single night when we go to sleep and when we fall asleep, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala temporarily takes away our souls. And if He wants to give us the next day to live, He brings the souls back to us, and that's how we wake up. And sometimes I think that's probably why I love sleep so much, because our souls are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanAllah. I genuinely think that's so beautiful, because truthfully in this dunya, the most peace you get is when your soul is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanAllah. So I genuinely think that's so beautiful. But anyway, going off topic there, like I was saying, you know, Allah, when He gives us our souls back, it is literally an indication of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving us another chance to redeem ourselves, giving us that chance to come back from our ibadah burnout and do the more we can. The more we aim to do better, to seek Allah's pleasure, trust me, the more barakah He will put in your life. And I can say this because I have witnessed this so many times with myself, with my family, with those around me, that when you strive to do so much for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remember, it is not quantity, it's the quality of what you do. But sometimes, obviously, as humans, we want to do so much there and there and there, but it's the quality. You know, if you really want your ibadah to mean something, you need to learn to love that ibadah. Don't do it because it's obligatory and that you have to do it because that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us to do. Do it because you love it. Find that love. When you find that love, naturally you will find that discipline. Because if you love to perform your salah, trust me, when you are praying tahajjud, when you are doing your extra rakats of sunnah, when you're going through ibadah burnout, that love that you have for salah, that's not going to stop you from praying your compulsory acts of salah, right? And I think that is just such an important mindset to have. And trust me, it is not an easy mindset. It has taken me years and I'm still trying, and I'm not perfect, to establish that mindset. But it's discipline. Okay, it's not about having that mindset and that is it. It's about self-discipline. What do you actually do when you are going through ibadah burnout? Do you just sit there and sulk, and do you just expect Allah to pick you back up again when you are not putting in the effort? Or do you think to myself, you know what, hang on, even though I'm not doing the extra acts of worship, at least I'm not getting sin for that. Whereas if I were to miss my compulsory acts of worship, such as my 5 daily prayers, then yeah, that will be a sin against me. And that's not what I want. And actually that is displeasing to Allah, you literally not doing your 5 daily prayers. And I'm just using prayers as an example. It could be Quran, it could be something to do with your character, so on and so forth. And I genuinely think that it is a battle, ibadah burnout. But it's when it comes to our journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our journey starts from literally Allah all the way back to Allah. And it's important to remember that that journey is not a straight line. If it was a straight line, then honestly, our path to Allah would be so easy. And that's just not possible because Allah wants to test us to see our iman, to test us to see our taqwa, our sabr, all of this stuff, okay? And all of that stuff actually allows us to develop the self-discipline and resilience that we need to keep striving. And I think that's so important. So, you know, it's not a straight line. You've got so many loops. It's up and down, okay? That journey from Allah to Allah, it's up and down. You're going to have amazing moments where you have reached your potential, you know, subhanallah, but then you will have moments where you dip down. But when you're dipping down, right, that curve, that dip, where it's like that U shape, and you're slowly going back up, yeah, that is you holding on to your compulsory acts of worship, because that's the only way that you're able to go back again. And you know what, let me tell you this, and I've actually witnessed this happening to people around me. When I see people go through it by the burnout, they completely stop doing everything. It's like, yeah, you know, I'm just going to take this optional, you know, break from my compulsory acts of worship. You should not be doing that, because one, it's a great big sin, and you have lost. You are surely now amongst the losers, so if you don't repent for it. And honestly, our salah is our protection. You know, the ibadah that we do that is ordained for us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is a protection for us. Because Allah knows that this dunya is corrupt. The things that are happening in this dunya is corrupt. And that our hearts will be broken. And that we are emotional. And that we are not self-sufficient. Even in the Quran, Allah says that He has made mankind weak. So that we can be dependent on Him. But we need to develop that mindset. So again, having that resilience and finding that love for your ibadah. Trust me, when you start falling in love with Islam and you start falling in love with your ibadah, everything changes. Subhanallah, everything changes. And believe me, this is coming from somebody who has gone through a lot when it has come to their ibadah. Like, I remember, I wasn't that amazing at my ibadah, but subhanallah, I'm trying so hard. And I feel like, you know, all praise to Allah, alhamdulillah, I'm going in that right direction. Yes, do I go through ibadah burnout? Lots. But the thing that keeps me holding on is my love for the compulsory acts of worship. And you know what? When you refresh that love, when you realize, actually, you know what, this is the reason why I love doing my ibadah, try and allow yourself to, you know, refresh your minds when it comes to, okay, why do I love Islam? Why do I love my Rabb? Okay, it's nice to have that check-in with yourself, to give yourself that reality check where it's like, okay, I have been going through so much in life. I feel like, you know, life has just thrown itself at me. I need to check in with myself and actually see, you know, where my love lies for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, you know, remind yourself of the love that you have. And when you remind yourself, whether that's through, you know, reading the tafsir of certain surahs, that's what I love doing. My love for, you know, the Quran, alhamdulillah, I feel like ever since coming back from Umrah, I just can't live without the Quran anymore. It's like my best friend, you know, has all of the answers that we need, all of the remedies that we need to, like, help cure whatever we are going through, because it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words. You know, if you want that direct, you know, ease, if you want that direct advice, okay, just consult to the Quran. Go to the Quran, because there are so many beautiful lessons. And I remember I started my Quran journey when I went to Umrah, and that is how I fell in love with it. Because growing up, I always read the Quran without reading the meaning. So to me, yeah, I loved reading the Quran, but like, I never learned anything from it. I didn't feel like a deeper connection within my heart. But when I started reading the meaning and the tafsirs and like linking it to the stories and linking it to the hadiths, honestly, the love that I had, like, I cried so much reading the Quran. I never cried so much, subhanAllah, because it has touched me so much. And how our beloved prophets and, you know, women in Islam, how they have, you know, sacrificed so much for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know what? These are the greatest people in Islam. And if they can sacrifice everything that they had for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then who are we not to do the same? Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us in this specific time for a certain reason, so that we can be the best that we can be for our generation, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, our beloved prophets, our beloved, you know, the, you know, mothers of Islam, they have died, you know, they have died. There are people, they've, you know, there are women that have been martyred. And we just have to remember that they all gave up their lives for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who are we to just be sitting there and not pushing ourselves to try and focus on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again? Again, it's about discipline. Find that love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. discipline yourself, show resilience, and finally, you know, look at inspiration. Get inspiration from the people. Read stories of our beloved prophets who sacrificed so much, you know, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And trust me, that is the motivation that you need to think, you know what, that's okay. And trust me, the people of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, they could have easily given up. They had so many reasons to give up because they had so many people around them who belittled them, who were horrible to them, who beat them up. You know, they were tortured, like verbally, mentally, physically abused. They had all the reasons to give up on their ibadah, but they didn't, because their iman was so high. It was so strong. It was their faith and their love for their Rabb, our Rabb. You know, we all have the same Rabb. The love for our Rabb is what held them. And that allowed them to keep pushing through. And look at their status now. And this is our Ummah today. They were the leaders of our Ummah that is today, the ever-growing religion in the world. Subhanallah. May Allah be pleased with them, and may Allah be pleased with our efforts. Ameen. Okay, alhamdulillah. So we have covered so far ibadah burnout and what that is. We've also talked about ibadah burnout guilt and what that is. And we've also talked about the mindset needed to recover from going through an ibadah burnout, and talking about the certain aspects such as resilience and the love that you have, and also motivating yourself by looking at the stories of the women in Islam and our beloved prophets. And now we're going to be talking about what things you can do, practical things to help you, you know, come out of that ibadah burnout. Okay, so remember what I talked to you guys about. So I talked to you girls about how, you know, life from Allah to Allah is not a straight line, but it's a curve. So when you're going through that dip, okay, that's your ibadah burnout, that U-shape in the curve, that's a dip, but then it goes back up. That little curve there, that is what we're going to be talking about now. So we're going to talk about things that we can do to replenish our souls and to allow us to, you know, start easing ourselves back to doing the best that we can be. Because remember, life is a journey from Allah to Allah, and we have high points as well. Yeah, we have those dips, but we have those high points in the curve, in our journey. And those high points are actually, is you reaching your potential. That is the best that you can see yourself. Sometimes the high points are even high in some aspects, you know, the curve is never the same. You might have really high points, and you might have like semi high points, but use that as an inspiration. Use yourself as an inspiration. Even if you're not perfect, no one's perfect, but at least you can see, you know what, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed me to reach my potential. And if I can reach that, if I can reach my potential, then I know that's something that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed me to do. So I know I can reach that again with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if I try my very best. So now let's talk about what we can do to get out of that ibadah burnout and slowly transition ourselves back to doing the best that we can be, and back to focusing on all of our ibadah, or whatever our ibadah routine is, inshallah. Okay, number one is so important when you're going through ibadah burnout. So obviously, just like any other burnout, your body will tend to crash. And that could be because lack of sleep, lack of hydration, lack of food, you're not, you know, getting the right exercise, you're not getting the right nutrients inside of your body. Trust me, you need to look after yourselves. Our body is an amana from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's our responsibility to look after our bodies. It's a gift, it's a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to do what we can with Allah's resources that He has given to us, such as food, water, exercise, we're blessed with legs, go out, you know, have a walk. It's important that we're doing these things to help regulate the chemical reactions happening in our body, to enable our body to have that good nutrients to allow it to kind of, you know, flourish in a way, right? That's the aim. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises us to do, to look after our bodies. And you know what, when you start filling yourself up with nutritious foods, foods that are high in certain nutrients, then honestly, that's going to allow your mind to be so powerful, you know, alhamdulillah. Like, it's going to allow your mind to feel more awake. You know, you don't want to be eating food that will make you feel sluggish, because trust me, your motivation will be low, and you're just going to feel awful when you wake up the next day, and you're going to feel full, and you're just not going to be, you know, going to be too full, and you're not going to want to have that motivation to do anything. So eat something like very nutritious. I've said that word so many times. You know, with me, I love fruit so much. like all of my friends know that I literally live off fruit, but I've noticed that when I'm eating healthy, and I don't need to be eating healthy 24/7, by the way, we are human at the end of the day, but if when majority of my diet is healthy, honestly, I feel so energized, alhamdulillah, because these are the fruits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. You know, these are all natural fruits, so they all have goodness in them because it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. He made that for us. He knows that it's good for us, so we need to make the most of it. You know, take a fruit salad to work, or when you're going out on a walk, you know, take your smoothie. That's what I'm doing every day. Every single day I'm having this like really nice smoothie recipe, and that's helped me so much, alhamdulillah, not only just with like my skin and everything, but just mentally as well. I feel amazing, I feel energized, and also I feel like I don't need to fill myself up with any other like fatty foods or anything like that, because I feel full, alhamdulillah. And so again, also another thing, just ensuring that you are eating properly and that you are exercising. Doesn't matter what you do as exercise, but it's important that you are keeping fit, even if that means just going on an hour walk every single day. Because trust me, if you're not looking after your body, your mind is going to feel so sluggish, and it's not going to want to have the motivation to do anything. You're going to feel lazy, you're just going to want to stay in bed all day, and that is not going to help you recover from ibadah burnout. You're already burnt out anyway. But now you need to get your body back intact. You need to try and re-energize your body, re-energize your mind. Because trust me, when you start re-energizing your body, naturally your mind will be stimulated, inshallah, to do the best that it can. And that's what you need to do. Okay, just like sleep as well. If you're somebody that doesn't have a good sleep schedule, create one, because it's probably your sleep. For example, there are days where I miss tahajjud because I probably, you know, went to bed really late that night, or I didn't get enough sleep the day before, so then I ended up oversleeping, you know. But again, you need to put the boundaries in place. If you want to have that self-discipline to come out of ibadah burnout, you need to put those discipline in place. You know, go to bed early. I even actually have a podcast episode where I talk about, you know, creating a morning fajr routine. Please do check that out, because that's obviously there in more detail, and it talks about the sleep patterns and talks about the different types of foods, etc. So yes, that's really important. Sleep is so important, okay? Because obviously if you're tired, you lack of sleep, you're not gonna perform as well, you're gonna underperform. Whereas if you get the right amount of sleep, you know, inshallah, you are gonna outperform how you were, you know, whilst you were going through ibadah burnout. So again, it's all about re-energizing your body to going back to where it, you know, where it was. Okay, number two, and that is to take a break and do something that you enjoy. So when it comes to ibadah burnout, you know, have time to yourself. Remember, when I'm talking about ibadah burnout, I'm talking about the extra ibadah. I'm not talking about, you know, compulsory ibadah, because that's a whole different issue. You know, the extra ibadah, you're not going to get a sin for it, because that's extra. At least you're trying to, but you're not going to get a sin for it. Whereas if you miss anything compulsory, then obviously you will get a sin for it. But, you know, Allah is Al-Alim. He is all-knowing, so Allah knows best. But yes, it's important that you take a break and do something that you enjoy. You know, take a break from your routine and do something like, you know, spending time with your friends and family, going for a walk. That's what I love to do. And you know what? You can easily make that into an ibadah. Tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, Allah, please allow this walk to be an act of me looking after my body, and please accept this as an act of worship. Also at the same time, listen to Quran, okay? You don't need brain power to be listening to Quran, because you're not, you know, speaking it, you're not reciting it yourself, but you're listening to it. You know, rather than listening to something haram like music, listen to the Quran and go on your walk, because that is going to re-energize your soul, which is what you need. You know, listen to your favorite podcasters that talk about Islam. You know, listen to those things. Listen to, because this is all an act of ibadah, because you're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We live in a modern society. Maybe back then, you know, in our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time, they might not have had podcasts, but we have that now, because Allah has given us as a beautiful resource for us to use for a good reason. So listen to that, because that is the type of ibadah that requires no brain power. Okay, yeah, you have to listen to it, but honestly, what are you actually doing? So it's trying to do the best that you can. So go for a walk, because sometimes when I go through ibadah burnout, I love going for walks, and I'll listen to Quran, I'll listen to my favorite podcaster, or I listen to my favorite speaker like Dr. Haifa Yunus. Absolutely adore that woman. She's so inspirational. May Allah be pleased with her. But yeah, because this, all of this can, you know, help you relax and recharge and, you know, just walking. Like for me, walking, appreciating Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation, it's so beautiful. And actually it reminds me of my purpose as well and why I am doing this. So yeah, I feel exhausted, but I'm exhausted for the sake of Allah. And I know that because Allah can see me trying, you know, I know He's going to push me. So long as I remind myself of my purpose and that I discipline myself and that I actually put the measures that I need to put in place in order for me to strive to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. Number three, and that is to change your routine. So try to change your ibadah routine. Maybe your ibadah routine is more, you know, more than what you expected, or it's less, okay? If your ibadah routine is something that you can't actually achieve, and maybe you can achieve it in the future, take a few steps back. You know, maybe, for example, you've designed this ibadah routine, but your work life isn't really letting you do that routine because you're coming home late. Change it up. Or if you can, you know, cut your ibadah routine in different, different slices, like different parts. Maybe do one part in the morning after Fajr, do another part in the day, maybe in your break time or lunchtime, and then another part in the evening. Or you could do one in the morning, one when you come back from work, and one in the night. That's what I tend to prefer doing as well. Also, it's very nice because it's not like you dedicated like a block of time just for ibadah. You had it throughout the day, so it's like a constant remembrance throughout the day. It's like a nice checkpoint. So yeah, change up your routine because it could be that change that you need. So a change that might be less overwhelming for you, you know, so it allows you to kind of find what is best for you because you know yourself best. So long as you're doing things that you are where you are still striving to gain Allah's love, then it's more than fine. Change up your routine. Number four, and honestly I love this one, and I actually did this with one of my best friends, and that is to find a friend or a group to do ibadah with. So finding a friend or group can help you feel more connected and motivated. I actually remember one of my friends, me and her, we both went to the masjid and we didn't even talk to each other, right? We spoke, we prayed, but we just both started reading Quran, you know, on our own iPads. You know, she went to do teach Quran, and honestly, like, I managed to complete a whole juz because I was in that lovely environment in the masjid, and I had all of these beautiful sisters around me doing their own ibadah. And just by watching somebody do their ibadah, it makes you feel so uplifted, and it makes you just have that motivation because you are in an environment where you are feeling so inspired. And I think that is just so beautiful. And you don't even need to be talking to your friends, like, literally just sit there, be inspired, and do the most you can. And sometimes, you know, you need that someone to make you feel like, you know what, Allah has blessed me with such and so as a friend. It's really important that I utilize this. It's a blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me. So yeah, that is my favorite one, I think. Okay, number five, and that is to learn something new about Islam. So learning something new through, you know, reading books or attending classes, and again, it can make you feel inspired or motivated. Yes, this is my podcast to do with ibadah burnout, but there are so many Islamic speakers on YouTube, you know, on social media that talk about ibadah burnout and what it means for them and their own perspectives. So have a listen, because my podcast might not be the podcast that allows you to have that perception of ibadah burnout. That's fine, go and listen to someone else, but you have to put in the effort to kind of get yourself out of that ibadah burnout. Otherwise, that curve when it comes to your journey from Allah to Allah, instead of going up then down and then up and then down, it's just going to be up and then down, 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 and that's not something you want to do. If you want to get close to Allah, you need to go and get that that curve back up again. So it's really important that you learn something new about your faith, remind yourself of your purpose, look at these inspirational inspirational people from, you know, our ummah, and just look at their stories and how they fought for Islam, okay? Because these people are our biggest inspiration. You know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought his life for Islam, his entire life, and I, you know, you can never get a bigger inspiration than him. So, you know, may Allah be pleased with him. So again, finding out this new information, you know, search up the women in Islam, look at their stories and how they worked so hard and how they kept so steadfast. May Allah be pleased with all of them. That is inspiration. Use that to push you and remind you of your purpose, because we all go through ibadah burnout. Okay, we might all go through burnout differently when it comes to Islam. It might not just be ibadah burnout. It could be to do with your character. It could be to do with hardship burnout. You know, hardship burnout is actually a completely different type of burnout when it comes to ibadah. Yes, they do link, but they're slightly different. So again, think about all of the amazing women in Islam who have gone through so many hardships, yet that dip in their life, because of their iman, that allowed them to go up again in their journey. And that allowed them to be so loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number six is actually something that I do a lot, and it is an act of ibadah, and I think it's so beautiful that it is an act of worship, and that is reading a book about worship and ibadah. And reading, you know, all of this can give you a new insight, a new perspective. So a bit similar to like podcasts and, you know, different speakers on YouTube and so on, but also reading books as well. I have been reading this book for the longest time, but it's the 99 Reflecting on the 99 Names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by Jinan Yusuf. Absolutely amazing. Highly recommend her book. It's so beautiful because it allows you to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are understanding his attributes, and again, it inspires you to just carry on. So I really think it's beautiful. Number seven, and that is to attend a religious conference or a retreat. I think that is so amazing. I really, really want to go on a retreat with like Muslim sisters, or go on a hiking event or something so beautiful that will allow this sisterhood to grow, but also allow each other to hear each other's stories about our ibadah burnout, about the weak points in our life, and how we Islam was there for us, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was there for us. I remember I went to a Ramadan reset evening. One of my friends hosted it, and we were talking about how Islam saved us in the lowest points of our lives and how that helped us gain so many beautiful attributes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, that allowed us to be better person and made us feel so happy. And honestly, when you start hearing other sisters' stories, you feel this beautiful comfort, and it makes you realize that you actually aren't alone in this. And trust me, it is such a beautiful feeling, because it's common. When you love Allah so much, there will be times where you just feel guilty and you just feel like you want to do more. But that is a beautiful sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yes, going to these religious conferences, making sure that you are surrounded by sisters or brothers if you're a brother, and just making sure you have that good environment, that where you can hear other people's stories, you know, it's truly beautiful. Number eight, and that is to volunteer with a local charity or organization, or come up with your own, you know, organization and charity. And this is beautiful because it helps you give back to your community, and it feels a sense of purpose. Because remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a huge responsibility to look after those in need, you know, help those who require help from us. Because if we want to seek Allah's help, then Allah expects us to be helping others. And when we help others, watch how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us. He helps us even more, you know. He will always be us. If we do good to someone, Allah will double that good, or however much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to, you know, increase it. And I think that's so beautiful. So doing good for other people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah loves, because you are looking after his creation. Again, it's fueling your purpose. When you start making the intention and making every act that you do in your life for the sake of Allah, watch how your life changes. And honestly, all you need to do is talk to Allah and make that intention. That is it. Literally takes less than 30 seconds, and it is so beautiful. You suddenly feel like everything you do in life is a purpose. Like for me, like alhamdulillah, I'm a teacher, so when I go to work, you know, I think of it this way. I'm helping students. I'm helping these students, inshallah, to become better people. You know, may Allah accept that from me, because I'm trying to allow these people to be good human beings and to go out being well-rounded people who aren't ignorant, who accepts people from different faiths. You know, it's really important that you make, obviously Allah knows what's in your heart, but it feels good that you are talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about it as well. Number nine, and that is to practice gratitude and positive thinking. So, you know, by doing this and focusing on the good things in your life, this can help you feel so content and motivated. So again, positive thinking, having that positive perception of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very important. And I've talked about that a lot of time. And practicing gratitude, like look at the blessings around you. I always tell myself that when I was brought into this world by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I bought nothing on my own. everything that I gained in this world growing up from day dot, it was all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have more blessings than things taken away from us, subhanAllah. That actually just shows the infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So recognize that Allah does so much for us that we need to push ourselves to do more for Him. And no matter how much ibadah we do, it will never be enough for what Allah has done for us. So just think about it this way. We have a Rabb who is Al-Malik. He is the King of the heavens, of the earth, of above, beyond, eternity, everything. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us so much, okay, that we actually don't deserve it, because think about how many times we sin. You know, but yet our Rabb loves us so much. He is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, most compassionate, most merciful. Again, having that positive perception of Allah will change so much in your life. Okay, last but not least, and number 10, and this is to seek guidance from maybe a scholar or a imam or somebody who is very beneficial in that knowledge of guidance that you are looking for. So seeking guidance from a trusted religious leader or a mentor or just somebody who has a lot of knowledge in that field that you are trying to, you know, gain a better insight to. This allows you to, again, feel inspiration, but also get the right help that you need. It's obviously important that we leave all of our affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if you are struggling mentally when it comes to your ibadah, always seek help and, you know, go to trusted people who are knowledgeable in that field. That way they can help you, you know, guide you to Al-Hadi. Yeah, I think that's so beautiful where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us people to help us get on the right track back to the guide, Al-Hadi, our Rabb, okay, who will then guide us and hold our hand and allow us to ace that finish line and enter Jannah, inshallah. So it's important that we seek help from those who are knowledgeable in that aspect. And it's important that whatever research that we look at online to help us, it is backed by the Hadith or the Quran. I think that's very, very important. Nowadays, I see on social media, people are just saying random facts about Islam and it's not backed up with like the Hadith or the Quran. So again, please don't just rely on social media, but do your research. Go to the Quran, refer to the Hadith. And I think, you know, that will help you so much, seeking that professional help that you need. Okay, my lovelies, so that is pretty much it, and that is a whole summary of what is ibadah burnout, you know, the effects of ibadah burnout guilt, the mindset needed to recover from ibadah burnout, and practical things that you could do to help relieve yourself and slowly transition back to being into your own routine and again and falling in love with the ibadah that you do. But I pray this podcast episode has helped you, inshallah, and please keep me in your du'as, and I am looking forward to making a new episode for you girls soon. So take care and assalamu alaikum.